If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testing?
Testies?
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
Nah, nigga.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Get your balls off.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit fat podcast.
I like China.
Oh, yeah.
You work with retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Welcome to Legit Bat. And now with a new anti-Semitic flavor for that ass, your hosts, Joe, Jen, and Ben.
Hey, welcome back to Legit Bat. This is Joe, introing here real quick. Thanks, Wheezy from What Is Truth Podcast for that intro. And as you know, email me your intros if you're interested in doing that kind of thing. This was an attempted live on YouTube for the first time, and it did not work. But we'll figure it out next time, I promise.
It's first time doing YouTube?
First time live streaming on YouTube. I've never... I've uploaded a lot of shit there, but
get ready to have your first time instantly being demonetized and probably blocked for something that one of us will say.
All right, let's try that. All right, so it was separating us. We need to be together on this. Let's see. Are we together now? Hello, YouTube. Are we live?
Hi, I mean, YouTube.
We are.
Hello, have you demonetized YouTube? And kicked us off yet?
We haven't said much yet besides, and I didn't even think we said the F word yet, so I think we should be good.
I got kicked off Instagram midstream in a show earlier this week, just midstream immediately, and I think I was like not able to use it for a couple days because I couldn't see any profiles because we were mocking the DNC, and we got kicked off for violating their hate speech policy.
Wow. Well,
the DNC is their own race now, and you can't say anything about them.
It's black, and you can't say anything about the DNC. It's a black woman.
Oh, you can't even say black anymore, dude. Okay, oh, we just got kicked
off.
We're
gone.
No, I'm kidding.
I like the legit bat hat.
Custom made.
Very cool.
I ordered it like a nerd.
So, hey, welcome to Legit Bat. I'm Joe. Jen's here. Brad Binkley's here again. He's over there talking shit like he did at his game earlier. This is our first time live streaming on YouTube, so hopefully this works. If not, then go fuck yourselves, because you can hear it on audio for free. Anyway.
Yeah. I have no idea why I'm blending in right now with this background, because
it's
not a green screen. I think
are you wearing a green shirt?
No, it's blue. Maybe the green screen function is on. I don't realize
it. Looks cool. I say keep it. Wear that every show.
All right, yeah. If I could, I don't know how to do this. I could only Zoom. Am I able to accomplish this?
It kind of looks like you're naked, and the clothes are the green screen. Like you have fake green screen clothes on. I like it.
Yeah, it's hot.
I just paint my body green, and I'm naked. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got you on for obvious reasons. You're our geopolitical connect, basically, and all the news I get from what's happening in the political world either comes from you or like maybe two other shows I listen to.
Rachel Maddow also, maybe.
Infrequently. Yeah, so obviously this week has been the DNC, and if anybody's caught any of that, it is, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, it's just painfully cringe, pandering, and just straight up lies. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you called out a lot of it, and I've listened to a couple of your shows on the things that have happened. I've seen things on social media and all that stuff, and I just can't believe that people take this seriously. I don't know if they do or not, or if they just are paid to, or just pretend to, but it's the end now, right? It's over, so what's your whole take on it? Overall,
if I could sum it up in one word, I'd say joy.
Oh,
yes. I'm a joy. If I was going to say two words, Trump is running a dark, demented, divisive campaign. But Kamala, joy, freedom, power. Like, I feel so. I was dancing in the aisles of my house, just like MSNBC journalists were. And I think the whole thing is a really cringe facade that some people actually believe. I think they project all of this insane emotions and behavior at the DNC so that the audience, who probably might quietly be like, this is some weird, well, is Little John standing next to like some white weirdo who's never seen a black guy in his life and singing how they're giving their delegates but then they see the anchors reacting like, oh, like with positivity and joy. And they're like, oh, I should love the how stupid this is amazing. I should love this. I think it's a big projection and a fabrication of reality. Then we watched a whole new person get created right before our eyes in less than a month. Kamala went from like the most disliked politician in the history of the world, even just by polls, likability polls a month ago, to being this completely new, joyful, happy person that didn't previously exist, that is going to stop the dictator from day one, which we all know Project 2025 is going to empower him to do, because we had all those weirdos who couldn't stop licking their lips raw from all the cocaine they were taking before they went on stage. And Kenan Thompson from SNL saying, here's this big book of Project 2025. On page this, Trump could be a dictator and bang your wife in the ass. Whatever. Everything, they just, and they opened the, did you see any of these segments? Or is this study to give you context to some of that?
No, so I know the context just because I heard the audio, and I didn't see the actual video, but I believe you. But the whole premise behind that is retarded, because
so bad.
Project 2025 isn't even a Trump-sanctioned thing. So why are they harping on that so much?
You're right. So that's an important thing that they obviously don't tell their audience. In fact, Trump says the opposite of the things that they say are going to be mandated if Trump is elected. Like Kenan Thompson said, if Trump wins, it's like you sign a contract and you don't even read the terms and conditions. These are the terms and conditions. That's just not true. And Trump has even said recently, there's some pretty radical stuff in there. So he's actively saying the opposite of what they're saying he's going to do. So it's a couple, like the premise is one, that Project 2025 is, Trump is bound by it. And if they want to say he's lying about the stuff he's saying, that's fine, but they're not saying that. Second thing you have to rely on is that what they tell you that's in Project 2025 is actually in Project 2025, which the people at home aren't going to read it. And the people who were presenting, Kenan Thompson from SNL didn't sit down and fucking read 900
pages. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you search like abortion and the actual document, because what they would do is Kenan Thompson would come out, he'd go, it's Project 2025, blah, 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 blah. And he'd slam it on the desk and he'd flip it open. It's worse than you think. So you have all this stuff they're about to tell them, and you don't have to read it, you idiots. We're going to brainwash you and tell you what may or may not actually be in there. Then he points to a spot on page 875. And then he reads something like he's really reading from Project 2025. I pulled up the document while they were doing that and was typing it, and the pages didn't line up at all. I found very little or anything of what they actually said when I was searching it. And then I heard Kenan say, if you want to read this, go to KamalaHarris.Project 2025, whatever. I'm like, that's weird. They're sending people to Kamala Harris's Project 2025 document, which seems like it's a little different. because he's reading it going, it says right here that Trump, unless you're a MAGA loyalist, you're going to get butt raped. I'm like, I don't think it says you're going to get butt raped unless you're MAGA. It didn't say that, but it did say like ridiculous shit that you know is not actually in it. And the abortion thing, that abortion's just going to be outlawed everywhere. I looked up abortion in it. It says abortion is going to be, the rights are going to be reserved to the states and there's going to be exceptions. Just like Trump has said.
That's extremism right there, dude. Reserved to the states. Very extremist.
Exactly. But they say the opposite, knowing these people aren't going to check. It's like they had full freedom to just completely gaslight and lie because they were going to have the most eyeballs on this thing than anything else that they do, and none of the people are going to listen to anybody who says otherwise, because they use this thing as a brainwashing tool, part of, you know, an ongoing one, to create a bunch of straw men that don't actually exist, but condition the audience to see who they identify as the enemy as these made up straw men that they must fight back against. Like one example of that, the Project 2025 stuff is an example of that. It's a bunch of made up villains and policies that they got to fight back for, vote for Kamala, or otherwise, you know, you don't get your abortion bus or whatever.
You ain't black.
Yeah, or you ain't black. And then this one lady comes out and she's attorney general of, I don't know, some gay state probably, because she's gay and she's pretty attractive. I'm like, let me see the wife. Okay, I'll be a couple. And so she ended her speech by going, holding her hand up and going, oh, you know, because they always do the, oh, you know, like you want.
You got to do the head tilt,
right,
too.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You know, yeah. Just the, you know, when the, you pissed off the lady working and you said the wrong thing behind the Burger King counter. You know, that kind of like head.
Right.
You don't say shit like that to them.
It's black Karen.
Yeah. Except it's white people that are, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You can't. What's it called when you steal somebody's culture?
Cultural appropriation.
There you go. Appropriating the spiciness. And she goes, oh, and the Republicans, they going to have to take my wedding band off of my cold, dead, gay hand. And everybody goes, woo! And I'm like, are there Republicans marching around the country, like slaughtering lesbians?
Taking a Sawzall to your finger?
We got another one. Like they have a bowl, like a witch dude.
A necklace.
They're
making a necklace out of all the wedding rings
Vietnam,
of the gays.
Yeah. That's not a real thing. Nobody gives a shit that you're gay married lady, and nobody's trying to stop you from being gay married.
I would say there is, but it's such an extreme end of the fringe that they blow out of proportion everything else.
Might be Mike Pence.
It's a small
Pence. Okay, it's Mike Pence. Yeah. Mike Pence is the only guy, and you know, they tried to hang him. You know, Trump personally tried to put a noose around his neck. That Trump should say that. I tried to get rid of Mike Pence for you gay women.
Dude, so I think the reason that they can get away with like what you're talking about, the SNL guy just being like, hey, page 825 or whatever, this is what it says, is because they've already conditioned that side of the aisle to that doing your own research is dangerous. Do you remember several articles a couple years ago?
Yeah, critical thinking is dangerous.
Yeah, critical thinking, doing your own research is dangerous. Just trust the experts, like SNL sketch artists that are paid and scripted. Just trust them. Okay.
Expert Kenan Thompson. Hey, y'all.
Yeah. He knows what he's talking about. He's read the whole 900 pages. He knows exactly what page he's talking about. Just believe
right.
him. Don't
That's
look
what
it
does.
Up yourself, for God's sakes, don't.
I like to think that it's also a small fringe group of people who really listened to everything at the DNC and was like, yes,
I fully
believe in all of this.
That's what I hope.
It's hard to tell because they blow that out of proportion, too, and make it look like the entire country thinks like this. So then the ones that are on the edges are like, oh, I guess I'm not, I need to be in that group too.
So it's like trying to create like a spiral of silence almost, where you act like more people believe this ridiculous shit than really do. And then other people who think it's a little weird, as they say now, can they ruin every word? They just ruin every word.
Demure.
These people stay silent because they think they might get ostracized because they think everybody disagrees with them. But in reality, probably more people, that's how the people on the fringes of either side end up getting more attention, because they want to manifest that reality for whatever agenda. I don't believe the hype about Kamala. at all. They're trying to fabricate it and create plausibility, I believe, so they can steal the election if they need to. But I've been to three events that Trump spoke at: the Libertarian National Convention, the Bitcoin conference, and he came to Georgia State and spoke at Atlanta. And I went down and interviewed a bunch of people and did Man on the Street out where Antifa was protesting. And I talked to a bunch of black guys, like, what do you think of Kamala? They're like, that's she a bitch. And they were hilarious. They hated her.
I've seen a lot of those. It's pretty fucking funny and very, very telling to see those in-person interviews like that.
You got a bunch of white guys doing chants about how racist Trump is. And then you got to, they're doing like to the faces of a bunch of black guys who got MAGA hats on. It's like, what's going on here?
They're basically insulting them. They're like, you're an idiot for following this guy. Like. I mean, that's how it would feel if I was them, you know?
Yeah. So the thing about the hype to me is they talk about all this new support, like a groundswell of support for Kamala. But the problem I have with that is you can't find out when Kamala's events are beforehand, unless you're a member of a local Democrat party who gets the invitations a week in advance, and they're vetted. They're people who they already know are on board and will do what they're told to do. And then a few hours before her events, they tell people when and where it is. I tried to, because she did an event at the same place that Trump did within 1 week. I was going to go to both to see for myself. I could not find out when it was, because Trump's team said where his was going to be like the day after, which was like 4 days before his. Her team just said she's going to be in Atlanta on this day and Megan Thee Stallion is going to be there. No information about where it was. I searched Megan Thee Stallion's Instagram page just because that's what I do before I go to bed. But I found in the comments, after like 1,000 comments, I was just typing random search terms about location. Somebody said Georgia State, and then like 30 people were like, don't say that, girl. Then MAGA will be there. And so they got the invitations, and I started looking into it more. You can't have new people supporting this movement if none of them know about it and everybody who's there is controlled. And I saw photos of the lines outside. They were not even close to what I saw in person at Trump's. I mean, whatever you say about Trump, it was like a block party. It was so crazy. Everybody was surrounded the old Braves Stadium like it was 1991 Game 7 of the World Series. And it was white people. It was Hispanic people, it was Asian people, it was black people. And the white people were enthusiastic, but they were the least enthusiastic of the group. And it was like a giant block party of people that were, for the most part, nice. And then Antifa. And like, they didn't even do any. I talked to one of the Antifa people, the one that they let. Well, they actually didn't let him. He probably got like beaten afterwards because they weren't supposed to talk to us. Whenever you would ask any of the other ones something, they would just put the bullhorn in your face and say, hey, hey, ho, ho, whatever's got to go. And this gay guy talking.
No matter who.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought it was interesting. I told the dude, I was like, that's cool, man. I didn't agree with him, but he was thinking it out. And he wasn't pro Kamala. He was like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. I think I might be Jill Stein. And I think they didn't know each other before. I think they met online and they got together, because I saw him later when they were saying some ridiculous stuff. I saw him kind of like moving away from them.
Especially things like the DNC, they're, like you said, they're kind of vetted before they're allowed to go in. It looks like intentional preaching to the choir, where you're gathering your flock in that you know agrees with you, whatever percentage that is, and then saying all these things and blasting it out everywhere and being like, look how many people are here that agree with me.
And they know so that the arguments from the other side are going to be way more logical.
And
then
no
they would be at a
though.
So at a Trump convention or whatever he does, his speeches and whatnot, he lets people in because he's like, the left can't meme. I'm not afraid of you. Anything you say makes no sense. So the left is like, oh, I don't want anyone from the other side in because they're actually pretty intelligent with their comebacks. Yeah. And
that's
we
why
have
they don't
nothing.
Do debates. Like,
and I'm not on either side, just for the record. I know we're on YouTube. I hate both sides, really. I think they're
I'm
silly.
Not voting for either side either.
Yeah, same.
Just looking at the fiasco objectively, though, is so weird to see it lopsided in this way, where if half the things like Michelle Obama said at her speech and the cocaine lip smacking lip said Lip smacking chick. Wow, that's two shows in a row.
It was tough to say. I kept saying it wrong too.
Lip smacking bitch. There we go. That's easier. If any of those things they had to say were immediately rebuttable by somebody on the other side, it would just fall apart. Like
totally. Like everything they were talking about in that Project 2025, you could just easily show clips of Trump saying the opposite. And
yeah.
Well,
I don't know why they're trying to make it seem like he wrote it or backed it or supported it. And I know it's just something to add to the fear, but he has literally nothing to do with it. And doesn't the group, whoever writes it, don't they present a project like every year?
They do. Every year. And so do.
But now because Trump's there, they're like, let's take this crazy thing and associate it with Trump so they can be scared of something else.
Well, the reason they can get away with that is because, like I said earlier, that side is not going to do any research. They don't want to see Trump's face, period. So they're not going to listen to what he actually said. They're going to take the word of what the DNC says he said and then be like, oh, yeah, see, I knew it.
Because it's dangerous to listen to Trump. They inoculate him from the disinformation that Trump might give them. Because it spreads. That's what they used to talk about back in 2020.
Inoculated. They said that, right? Don't even listen to him.
Don't listen to him because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Speaking of like trolling, there was a giant speaker. I mean, giant speakers and a huge big screen outside of Trump's rally in Atlanta. Same building that Kamala had it. Kamala didn't have this going on. That's why they were able to have the block party feel. And except for a little while when they had some problem with the speakers. You could hear everything great. The audio was great, even over Antifa trying to be loud and prevent people from hearing it. They kept putting all this different stuff on screen, and it would kind of switch through things. And every now and then, they just throw up a big headline from like 2019 that's like the AP or Reuters. It's like Kamala Harris is inspiring Indians to see that they do have political power and stuff like that. It was right after he was at that black convention, and they were like, oh, Trump said Kamala didn't realize she was black.
No, she was always Indian.
Thank y'all. Come again.
Like that kind of Indian, not the teepee Indian, the red dot Indians. Like she identified as that a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's fortuitous for her that she also could be black, kind of, because now she needs the black vote. So now I'm black.
Right. But not African-American.
No, you can't say that.
She's neither of those, really. Well, I guess you can't say she's American. She's American, but not African.
Meanwhile, Trump's none of those things, and he still has African-American and black voters.
Gringo as fuck.
I think that's why they're going hardcore on some of this, because he's gotten so many black guys that are, like, going Trump. I mean, they love him. Like, the ones I've talked to, I'm sure there's ones that don't, like, there's a lot of gay black guys that are still with Kamala. And probably helping David Hogg spread monkeypox at the DNC. I mean, talk about patient X, David Hogg at the DNC.
Oh, meeting with Newsom?
Newsom, yeah. Man, yeah. That's a true winner there of the DNC is monkeypox right there.
That's how AIDS started, I heard.
It started at the DNC with David Hogg's father, I think. Yeah.
No, there is a lot of, especially like outspoken and kind of, I would hesitate to say famous, but like prominent black voices out there, like Officer Tatum and the Hodge twins. There's several like bigger name, like alternative media black voices out there that are like, black people, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. Have her say the N-word, otherwise she's not black. Okay?
Right.
Just do it on screen, on national TV. Have her say the N-word, you judge.
And they just erased this history of her being the Attorney General of California and keeping all those black men in prison on low-level drug offenses when the drugs they were selling or whatever it was, weed, is legal there now because the state could benefit from the cheap labor of the prisoners.
I mean, she was slavery. Not...
Totally. Yeah, she's just like her grandfather, kind of a slave master. Oh. But now she's Kamala Joy.
You can't talk about that. Now we're for sure going to get kicked off of YouTube.
Yeah. The only joy she experiences is thinking about all those black men still producing that cheap labor in San Francisco or California because of her.
Yeah, I just can't get past that people can't see how quickly that turned from Joe Scarborough saying this is the best version of Biden. He's cogent. He's he's powerful. And then in like 2 weeks or maybe 2 months from when he said that, he's going back and saying Kamala's the one. Biden needs to, you know, maybe back off a bit directly after the debate. It's like a scripted movie where you can see where it's going. Like, it's like a bad M. Night Shyamalan movie where you're like, oh, I see the twist coming here, you fuck. Like, I know what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, talk about the insulting, too. Is the media seeing that debate, which was very clearly handled differently by the moderators on purpose, so that usually they'd be helping Biden at every turn. And that's how it'll go back when Trump and Kamala debate. It'll go back to the normal style where it's very much, so prove to us you're not racist. And then it's like, you're so wonderful in many ways. Which way do you love how wonderful you are? Like this one, they just kind of stayed out of it to let Biden fall. And then the next day, they're like, holy cow, we had no idea until just now.
Yeah.
You know?
There were no signs leading up to this at all.
You know, cut to montage of them calling anybody who suggests that he might just be an old man having some old man dementia problems. It's a baseless conspiracy theory from right-wing radicals. And it's like, oh, wow, that's my friends of mine. They track along with that messaging. So it's like pacing and leading. And I know people like this is when I like wonder how effective it is. I think these friends of mine are a little more on the far left when it comes to this, that they really want it to be true. But he would say, I had two friends who would be like, no, he's just an old guy who had a stutter. They would say that. And I don't think that they were trying to be in on it. Like, yeah, we need to stop the dictator, so we need to lie. I think they believed it.
Well, yeah. And if you flip it, and people have a hard time, you know, viewing it from this way, but if you flip, if Biden was a Republican and ran under MAGA or something, but did exactly the same things he did, the liberals would still be like, get this fucking racist old white guy out of there. He's exactly obviously retarded. Like, what the fuck is he doing having the nuclear launch codes? And it would be exactly the same, but he's just running under a blue banner instead of a red one. It's so stupid.
It's the idea that people are so comfortable with the idea. They want it so badly. They don't care about the person.
Yeah, there was a poll that came out, and, you know, these are, it depends on who you talk to, and any of those can be biased, but I thought this one was interesting because I think it tracks based on reality, that it found, this was about a couple weeks before Biden dropped out, it was like 75% of the people that were polled that were Democrats were voting against Donald Trump because they hated him as opposed to for Biden, whereas it was flipped on the other side. 75% of the people voting for Trump were voting because they like Trump as opposed to because they hated Biden and the Democrats. And that's interesting to me because hate is a stronger propaganda motivation, a call to action. And so when you think about violence and stuff like that, that's going to be the thing that compels people to do something illegal and violent, not the one that sees optimism.
Right. That's the basis of like social media algorithms is what you hate, what gets you riled up and angry and engaged. That's what you get shown because they know that if they show you a couple puppies, you're probably just going to be like, oh, that's so cute. And then keep scrolling. But if you see, a Kamala thing, oh, you're going to dive into that and start arguing till 2 a.m. with some fucking libtard. Like they know that.
Right. Or like a liberal sees like a puppy with a MAGA hat on, then it finds that house and it kills that puppy.
Fuck that puppy.
After fucking the puppy, it does. Yeah.
I mean, both sides are super crazy, but at least the crazy Trump side, the cult, we'll call them both cults because we talked about this a couple shows ago. Trump's at least a cult leader, right? For them. And if the people who want to be like, yes, he's our savior, he's coming back, we're going to be raptured into the sky from Lord Trump or whatever. But the other side, they don't have a leader. They're a lost cult. They're still a cult, but there's no cult leader on that side. It's whoever they want it to be because it was Biden for a little bit. Now it's
identity is what it is. It's identity politics at this point.
It's just this crazy tulpa or egregore of an idea that they are following. And it's all based on whoever spews whatever on social media or on any media, really. At least the people on the left, crazy cults, they're following a human. These other people aren't.
So it's like vote blue no matter who
right.
attitude. Whereas on the right, that's not the way Trump supporters are that I'm familiar. They're not like, I'm just voting for Republicans. They're voting for Trump. Right. They don't like a lot of the other Republicans. That's a good distinction there.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the, you know, from like the Jungle Book when the snake hypnotizes them and they get the swirly eyes. That's what it reminds me of. It's where they're like, we don't see anything else besides what we're told to see, and then we vote for that because that is our team. And it does remind me of team sports so much. It's the same dynamic. It's tribalism at its core. It's just like, you know, I was born in San Francisco. I'm going to like the 49ers no matter what because that's my team. They live in fucking Florida now, but they're like, fucking 49ers. I don't care.
Well, I saw that a ton with the Patriots. So I'm from Boston. So we were just diehard Patriots fans growing up just because. And everyone loved the Patriots because of Tom Brady, because he was an amazing quarterback for years. Yeah. And then he left, and then he went to Tampa Bay. And some people followed him, and they were like, I love Tom Brady. But most people were just like, fuck him. I love the Patriots. And that's fine, too. I'm not fighting with anyone about what team they like. But it's the same kind of idea.
They all suck. No, but yeah, it's a blind following. It's the most obvious thing. And a lot of these people will say the same thing about both sides, too, where the Democrats will say that, too. Like, you're just voting for Trump because he isn't Biden. In this case, or it isn't Kamala, but in this case, if I were to vote, probably, but not because I'm a big fan of Trump. I don't like the Democrats even more.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
I would align closer to right than left, but not any more.
I would agree
that.
With that. And I think that while there might be some that are like that, people like Trump. If Trump were gone, then that group of people, which is very diverse for Republicans anyway, would kind of they would go their opposite ways, many of them. I don't think if Vance were the candidate, I don't like Vance. Most people don't like Vance. Vance is a good at dealing with the media, but his background's weird. I think everybody knows that at this point. They like Trump, the personality, the cult of personality, like you said. And what was funny at the rally in Atlanta I went to is every Trump supporter that I talked to was nice and kind. And I was like, what do you think about the protesters? And they're like, well, they have a right to be here. I don't agree with them.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, you see that cute chick? I said this to a couple guys that were younger. And they're like, yeah, that is that cute Antifa chick. And I was like, fully hairy legs. And they went, oh. And it's true. It's true. Like the three Antifa chicks, it's like they were taking like hair growth stimulants in their body. They were so hairy. And it was funny to see the Trump people's reactions. But they were all nice. They were all like, I don't agree, but they're whatever. And there's one lady there, though, who gave Antifa and any Democrats who were recording exactly what they wanted to be able to say, here's how everybody who supports Trump is, even though none of them were like that, except this one drunk lady who she talked like this, and she was actually real nice and fun at first. And she was there with her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. And she kept wanting to come over and talk. And
have you heard about Jesus?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like that. But then when Trump came out to speak, and we were watching from across the street on that big monitor, the audio, one of the speakers went out or something, and Antifa was too loud to hear. So the whole time we could hear over Antifa, and it eventually got fixed and you could hear him again. But when that happened, she lost her shit. And I was laughing my ass off, but she gave them exactly what they wanted, because at that time, the Antifa people, which it was just a white guy who was leading all the chants with the bullhorn, they had given the bullhorn to like a little, I don't know what she was, a little brown Indian lady. And she was leading all of the chants. And she was very animated about it and had a high-pitched voice. And she was doing a good job for her role. And this lady saw that lady as being what was preventing her from hearing her hero, Trump, speak. And so she just started going, shut up. She started going, shut up. You rat. Go back to where you came from, you fucking rat. And I'm just whoa, sweet lady.
Whoa.
And then she's like, you don't belong here. This is our home. I'm like, that's what they wanted. And they got it.
That's going on YouTube.
No, absolutely.
That's the blowing up of the you know, minority of people who act like that, and then categorizing everybody in that group as that. The same thing happened with Waltz brought his like autistic son up on stage, and he like broke down and everything, and the right was like criticizing him. Oh, basically, what a pussy, what a fag, whatever they were saying, which is fucked up if that kid actually has a disability or whatever.
Yeah.
But what the left was doing was then, you know, retweeting
exploiting kids, kind
whatever, of and being like, look at this is who those people are. These are the Trump voters, people who make fun of a disabled kid. I'm like, what was it? Three people that did that?
Right. Exactly. I saw somebody share that. Actually, I saw a Republican share that talking about MAGA, and the thing they shared, the person wasn't even saying something about the kid. They were saying that Waltz looked like he was jerking him around and like being a little bit abusive.
Like a dog on a leash type
of
shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, that so I found it to be strange. Almost said the word they ruined. I found it to be strange that story about that kid when Waltz was speaking. Standing at when Waltz was doing 30 minutes of football analogies, spoken like someone who never played football in his life, literally taking lines from Any Given Sunday from Al Pacino's character. I mean, he was using lines from a movie. And the
Idiocracy.
Kid, yeah, the kid stands up and he's going, that's my dad. I mean, it was very, if you didn't know anything about this kid, and nobody did because the media didn't say anything about any of that.
Until
but
after.
They did show it, and they did make it a point of like a triggering point before saying, oh, he has a learning disability, which is what they said. I looked up what they said he had, and it's one of those, they didn't even say autism. They said
spectrum.
They said it was something, it was like some sort of a specific type of learning disability that, and I don't know what this means. It's just what it says. It says it's not actually classified as anything. But it has tendencies of someone who doesn't learn visually, basically doesn't recognize social cues, which is, I thought was an autism thing, but they like distinguish it from autism. What I saw the first time I saw it, and this is still what I believe, is the product of bad parenting. I immediately thought when I saw that kid that Tim Walz is an abusive father. That's at least not there.
Career politicians and whether you want to believe his military history or not, which is dicey at best. Yeah, a lot of these career politicians are not there.
How can they be? Yeah.
Biden's been in politics for what, 60 of his 80 years or whatever.
Yeah. Never once showered with Hunter.
No. That was misinformation, YouTube, just so you know. but yeah, they just can't. I think a lot of it is just kind of neglect, and then they get these like daddy issues, mommy issues, whatever, and then they're just kind of fucked up kids. It doesn't mean they have a mental disorder. Maybe they're just, they're lacking
right. That's
something.
What,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Look at all this stuff that they said with Trump and Ivanka. And calling her hot and
just
hitting on her.
Weird, just
and,
as gross.
I mean, she turned out to be a businesswoman. I'm not saying she's not fucked up, but she's not sitting there saying she has a disability because of
it. And that's the, exactly. It's the go-to thing of a disability. I had friends in theater that would actively look through those like diagnosis books because they just wanted to like,
they wanted to find something that was wrong with them.
Yeah.
We've talked to you exactly about that topic before. The victim mentality is a huge part of it, and it seems to be heavily on one side of the aisle.
Yeah.
Not gonna say which. I'll leave that to your imagination.
No, I was just gonna say that though. I think it is heavily on the left. They want their people to be docile. They want them to want someone to listen to, and they want it to be malleable. They don't want it to be just one person. And I feel like on the right side, they're more harping on, this is the guy, this is the one, and our people will find us. It's okay. The left can come into our conventions. We don't give a shit because our people are stronger than you. And whether that's true or not, they at least allow for more freedoms, I feel like, than the left does.
The message is more, it's more empowering in some ways. Not always. They also have big government stuff.
No,
but,
for sure.
Yeah. So the idea of, and I'm not saying there's not people that don't have problems. I'm just saying that we live in a society right now where people have been conditioned to be rewarded if they find something to blame problems on that they might actually be able to take personal responsibility, have the power themselves to overcome. And I think when you convince people that there's something wrong with them that they can do nothing about, then you have this, well, the government must do this for you. Whereas if it's maybe it's not what they tell you it is and you can, you know, do personal development and you can take power. That means you don't need the government as much. And that, for me, that's one of the differentiators in that type of stuff. Because if you can convince a bunch of people that they're mentally disabled and they need to have these meds or they need to have this or that to do anything, or they need to have this income or nobody will ever hire them because of it, then you have someone you can control for their entire life.
Right. They're flipping through the DSM like a fucking slot machine and capitalizing on the first page that drops where they're like, I could... You know what? That sounds about like me.
I honestly feel like that's a mental disability in and of itself. Yeah. Because who would do that?
It's like,
it's going to be that Project 2025 book, like for real, by the time they get all the illnesses in it.
A lot of the recognized, quote, mental disorders are just things that are like, do you get anxious about things sometimes? Oh, that means you're fucking human. Oh, my God. Do you get stressed? Are you scared about stuff? Well, you should probably have this pill.
It's because in the 80s, when 80s and 90s, when we were all raised, you were just called a pussy or a little bitch if you couldn't handle it.
And then you got over
and
it.
Then
not being a faggot pussy.
People grew up and taught their kids, I'm not going to do that to my kids. And now their kids are growing up and becoming adults, and they're like, well,
I'm
just a little bitch because my mom never told me not to be.
Now we don't just have tards and fags. We have retarded faggots.
What up, retarded faggots?
Oh, wow,
yeah. Babe. All right. I think I probably told you guys.
I'm trying to get banned.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with OCD when I was like 20. And I know I'm a little weird, but like also once it kind of clicked with me, I was like, I think I can just not do some of the OCD things that for a little while I was led to believe I'm identifying myself as. And then I stopped fucking counting my steps. I stopped doing like, it's just, and I'm not
that
like,
makes
I'm not
you
saying
a strong, independent man. Nobody right, wants to hear that, but it makes you a strong, independent man.
Did my own research. Yeah. Did my own research turn me into a
living on the edge, Brad? Yeah.
Dude, I feel the same way though. I talked to when I worked at restaurants, I had a dude that was kind of talking about not OCD, but a drug addict, and he was really struggling with it. And I was like, dude, I've been there though. You know what I? You know how I quit doing hard drugs? I just didn't do them anymore. And it sounds easier. Yeah. It's definitely easier sounding, but I'm like, literally, you decide not to do it.
It's about wanting it and then deciding to do it.
You have to not think that there's something else that you can be a part of. Like, oh, I'm just a druggie. I'm just an alcoholic.
Right.
You can do whatever you want to do. If you don't want to do those things, just don't. And it will be work.
No,
it will be effort. It's not going to be fun.
Absolutely.
I'm not backtracking, but I don't want to oversimplify that because I know we have a lot of recovering people that listen to the show. Shout out Tucker. Hey, buddy. But it is harder for some people, and I get it. It's not as easy as just dropping it and moving on with your day. It isn't that easy. But if you put your head to it, that at the end of the day, even people who go through NA or AA or any of those things, it is your own brain that's choosing not to do it. At any point while you're in recovery, you could choose to go do that, and you choose not to.
Right.
So that is up to you. So
And the mentality, like in that state, it can be easy to just say those things about yourself. I'm just an addict. People often die. I'd be better if I'm not here. And that can be your problem. The more you think that stuff, the more those are the first things that come to mind, which makes it harder for you to see what you can do. And it is very difficult. Environmental changes and activities and stuff to replace it. I know that those things help. What's always like, and I've never been an addict, fortunately. I've had people close to me that have struggled with it for a long time.
Besides being a fucking weirdo OCD freak.
Yeah, that's weird. That's an addiction in many ways, actually. And we're all addicted to our habits anyway.
Oh, yeah. Pick your poison.
Yeah, so the nodes in our brain, and this always helped me like thinking about it when I feel like I was like focusing too long or having the wrong thoughts, is thoughts are physical things. They're like actually physical things that happen in your brain. And the more you have the same thought, like so a new idea or something pops into your head, and that's like a new node in your brain that exists that didn't exist before. And
the neural pathways and
exactly,
all that shit.
Yeah. And then you think that thing again, and then it gets stronger. And then again, it gets stronger. And then the more you think that thing, the more it becomes unconscious, and it just happens without you making it. So we have the cognitive resources where it drains our mind to think about something. And then you have the unconscious ones. And once it goes from, I have to actively think about this, to this is something that unconsciously kind of pops into my head, we can choose like the positive things about it. I think we focus a lot on like, it's easy to, the negative stuff. So like negative talk, like you were saying earlier, if we say, stop doing this, you loser, we're still calling ourselves a loser all the time. And if we say, go do that or whatever, and I know it's not that easy, but it does create a pattern, and actively working on that pattern, it works. It does work, and it is hard. There's no doubt about that, though.
No, you just have to forget about that pattern. So you have to fill up with something else. You have to think about other things when you start thinking. I did it with quitting smoking, I mean, way back in the day, but I would just do something else. And then eventually, I didn't think about it anymore. But when I did, I thought to myself, wow, I used to think about this all the time. And I'm just now thinking about it 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
Well, and then eventually I could think about it and it didn't bother me anymore after that point. And everyone's point will be different. It could be months. Who knows? But you just have to do something different.
Yeah, and the neural pathways you're describing reminded me of, you know, when you have a like carpet in your house and you walk over the same area so many times that when you actually take the furniture out and you look at where you walk all the time, it's the same fucking spots like 120 times a day. And you lift up the couch or whatever and you're like, holy shit, I've been walking in these exact same patterns for years.
Yeah,
it's the same type of thing where you just move the furniture around a little bit and walk in different areas and see how that treats you. But
and this is dangerous thinking, according to the left.
Oh,
though,
very
guys.
Dangerous.
That's
sorry.
The point. That's it's so strange though that they would promote herd mind or hive mind. They just want everyone in that herd mentality.
It's not
mentality.
That strange if you figure out their end game. That is the end game.
If that's, the left that or if the right did that too, I would recognize it. But and I look at both sides very objectively. I just don't. And I'm not saying the right's not doing something maybe more sinister. Maybe it's more subtle. I have no idea how they're convincing
people to support them either. Yeah, I agree with you. And I have been trying to look at that overarching message and the way that it impacts people as one aspect of it. Because I think all politicians, are probably shouldn't be trusted. But the message that, while Trump makes fun of people and whatever, if you listen to some of his stuff, he also does say empowering things to people. I mean, you can go back through some interviews he's done in his past. And he was on Oprah years ago. It was a clip going around after Oprah went up and showed off her Ozempic body at the DNC.
That was back when Oprah loved him, right?
Oprah seemed to love him, but apparently she'd been oppressed throughout her being like the richest woman on the planet. But Trump is, dude, I don't know what the segment was, but Oprah and Trump are standing talking to an audience member, and it's a black woman, and talking about relationships. And she's like, Mr. Trump, should my boyfriend and I, he hadn't proposed to me, and we've been together a long time. And he's like, well, how long have you been together? And she goes, 12 years. And he's like, oh. But then he gave her really thoughtful advice. And he was like, and if he's got a problem with it, if he doesn't want to do it, I got to tell you, looking at you, you're not going to have any problem finding any man. And she wasn't the greatest looking person, to be honest with you. She wasn't ugly, but like, he was flattering her, and probably the best she had felt. I mean, and there's other, he does deliver empowering messages. Now, he may cooperate with people, Lindsey Graham, whatever, which I don't like any of that shit, but I do like it when he says things that make people feel like they're capable, and the left does not do that.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. That's why, I guess, gun to my head, if I had to pick a side, I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I might be like, pull the trigger, I don't care. But I mean,
that'd probably be my response.
But I just feel like the left is promoting for everyone to feel the same way about everything and to be triggered about everything. And I'm not saying the right doesn't do it that way, but they do it in this very blatant way to someone who is a free thinker, and they're encouraging people to not think for themselves. And I don't feel like the right has that mentality, or that's not part of their message.
No, the whole thing is, if you don't agree, you're wrong. At the same time,
you're
saying we're the tolerant, side or whatever. And both sides do this, but it's like, if you don't agree on this point, then you're just wrong. And I'm intolerant of that. I kind of wanted to do a Jen Psaki circle back real quick. When you talked about the Antifa chicks with hairy legs, first of all, gross. Second, do you think some of these things, some of these affectations, like I'm not going to shave my pits or my vagina balls or whatever they call them now, I don't know, or the blue hair, all these things we see, isn't that, it's team sports. It's showing the colors. You're literally saying, which
you
side
I'm on. You got to do that to be in the club. If you got a shaved legs or you don't have a muff, it's just your hair spreading out or you got to be hairier than the guys to be in the club. I mean, this girl really looked like she'd never shaved her legs in her life. And it was, I was taken aback because I was like, well, she's actually kind of cute.
Jesus.
And this wasn't like, she's got a baby and she's been working and it's a little prickly. This was, her legs were hairier than mine and any other guy at that rally.
She was,
can you imagine wearing long pants? You take that girl home.
She was using Rogaine on her legs and pits.
Right. It's just like, I think that's part of the club. And it was,
maybe it was a him. Are you sure?
That's true. I didn't grab her by the whatever's down there. But
the bonus hole.
By the bonus hole. When they were cutting to people in the audience at the DNC, there was a lot of people there. There had to be at least some good-looking people that did not fit every single progressive stereotype you can imagine. Yet every time they cut to the audience, it's either a 300-pound woman with purple hair, or it's a guy who looks like he could easily take 6 dicks at one time with a blinking cowboy hat. Every single time. It's like, how can they have so many stereotypes?
It's messaging.
It's because they want those people, because those people, they know they do those things because they don't feel included in a group.
Exactly.
And they want to do it. And they're like, you're our people. Come on our side.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that hairy leg thing here.
Oh, Jesus, please don't. That might be banned by YouTube too. No, that'll actually be, that might get
us
recommended.
They'll promote you for that.
Yeah, we'll get recommended if you show some of that. So feel free to share screen if you want. But yeah, it just made me think of that because I'm like, they always say don't judge a book by its cover, but 9 times out of 10, if I'm talking to somebody I don't know, I can tell, you know, on a 5-point system, like, how I should talk to this person.
I don't think anyone in 2024 says don't judge a book by its cover anymore because of the way the world is right now.
Well, yeah.
I know back in the day when you didn't know
you can
100% what everyone
in 2024 judge
don't
a
judge
book
a
by
progressive
its cover.
By her leg hair.
Right. But like you see somebody who's like, okay, that's a marginally attractive person. Let's check out the rest of it. Oh, Harry Pitts. Okay, now I know how far I can go.
Like, it is, yeah, she can tell the you know, the signals of which way if people are going to be okay with things. And it's very clear to me usually who I can say faggot in front of pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to do that with my coworkers, dude. And we've had an influx of new coworkers where I'm like, wow, I got a lot to work with here. I'm going to work with you one-on-one to see how many faggots I can say and how many, you know, I almost said niggers. Oh, I just said it. Oh,
what
shit.
What the hell? Why would you? All right.
Nigga!
That's just information.
It's mouth noises.
Let's for see Kamala. Just add for Kamala at the end of it.
Let's see how many Facebook or YouTube strikes we have. Oh, nothing. We're still on there. Oh, it's because nobody's watching. That's cool. But yeah,
we don't have live viewers.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't even tell. I don't even know.
Do streams enough on YouTube, you'll eventually start picking up live viewers.
Well, they're not. Gonna
I mean, but you will get kicked
this.
Off. Right. You know what it does though on YouTube. I don't know if it always did this, but you'll have live viewers, and then once you stop streaming, it resets the count. So it's like,
that's why I
know there's a bunch
of
people
here.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you thinking about like lately, especially before we get out of here, but what do you, especially now where you're at, like the way you can believe the numbers and the algorithms and everything, like we're both putting out podcasts. We see the analytics and all that stuff. Like how much of that do you actually believe? I don't even believe half the time the follower count or anything else anymore. I'm like, I don't think that's true.
I don't know. I when there's a lot of chat activity, then I think it corresponds. And so sometimes it could be 1,000 viewers on a YouTube thing, and the chatter could be just tons of different people, and there could be a bunch of likes, 30 likes or something. And then you goes to video, and then suddenly you have 0 views and 30 likes. And, I don't know if it's actually 1,000 when it's in that case, but in those cases when I'm interacting with a bunch of different people, then I think it's more accurate. And I think, you know, I think it could actually be higher in some cases than they let you know about on YouTube, because YouTube,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
Suppresses you badly. The numbers on Rumble for me are usually much higher. When it comes ultimately to the views than they are YouTube, because YouTube just almost every video at this point, the next day they take it down and say that I have violated some copyright, which I don't ever violate the copyright because it's protected under fair use. You just have to change it. You can't just play it and deliver the same message, which I never do that. And they didn't used to do this, but what they do is they take it down and they say, you can appeal this, but if you do and you lose, you're going to lose your channel. And I haven't cared for a while, so I've appealed every one of them, probably like 10 of them at this point, and I've won every single time because it's protected under fair use, and I explained that. And then 2 weeks later, you get your video back, but at that point, it's kind of outdated a little bit, so it doesn't matter.
Obviously, you're demonetized, right? Like, they don't even give a shit. That's why they're giving you your channel like back, because you're not monetized anyway.
Limited
they're like,
monetization
fuck this guy.
And stuff. Yeah. I have found that the YouTube shorts, finding the right title to those, it helps a lot. But I put 3 of those shorts that I made from that rally on there, and 2 of them have decent views. Well, one of them has like 8,000, which is, you know, I used to get those kind of, I used to get that almost every video years ago on YouTube until the Las Vegas shooting. Then it was, you know, very clearly that was a drop down point.
You said too much about a certain thing.
That's it. Yeah, kill your channel. But I think if you can figure out exactly what it is that hits it on the YouTube short, because I've had a handful of YouTube shorts do well, but I don't know what that really, that doesn't get you any watch hours or anything.
Right.
But it does give you a lot of comments.
I'm not even worried about that. I actually think I've never signed up for monetization on YouTube or anything, so I think it's actually helped keep the channel on as far as it's gone, because there's certain things I should have been kicked off for by now and they haven't.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because I'm not monetized and they're like, who gives a shit? Like, nobody's watching anyway.
Yeah. It when also you start helps pulling them identify in you when they're going to round you up. So
right. They need to let you. When you start pulling in serious numbers and actually making money and you're getting a cut of their profit, that's when they pay attention and they're like, wait a minute, what's this guy saying? How can we cut his profits and just make all of his, you know, right. There's certain, I wouldn't.
Or how do we drug his names, drink but... and get some compromising photos of him and force
yeah.
him?
Yeah, maybe you could do that too.
Did you guys see what they're doing with the influencers?
Oh, are you talking about the Disney Plus thing or what?
No, at the DNC, the influencers they were
recording. Oh, getting dick down at the DNC?
They brought in all these influencers in these specific niches that had, you know, millions of followers on TikTok or wherever else, and they took them out on yachts and they gave them free food and drinks and they let them hang out with the staffers, and they didn't let the mainstream media go and do these same things, because this was written from the point of view of a mainstream media person who was like, they're treating them better than us. But I'm going, no, they already have the compromising photos of you. They're getting the compromising photos of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I saw some weird videos of quote content creators at the DNC, and I'm like,
yeah.
At the very least, you're being paid a handsome sum.
Didn't they do that
this.
4 years ago with the content creators? They were trying to get influencers during Biden's campaign, I believe.
Yeah.
And we thought that was weird because, I mean, yeah, there were influencers, but I remember several years ago that one of our friend's kids, we asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he's like, I want to be a YouTube influencer. And we just laughed in his face. We're like, that's dumb. And now they make millions. And they capitalize on that. No, not that kid. Influencers in general. We just didn't. It wasn't when he said this, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, when it wasn't every other person on earth was a fucking YouTube
right.
influencer.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They make it look like that. And there's like YouTubers that make millions of dollars a month and all this stuff. It's the same as being like an NFL player or anything else, where it is the top of the top, the 0.001% that are doing that.
Who don't quit and who kind of.
Right.
Work at it, you know, and then eventually the pedophilia stories come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't like what you're saying, they'll shut you down. Or in the case of, you know, pro sports ball players, somebody came out and said you raped them and then their career is over because they said something, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, if you get to a certain level, I think you can get shut down no matter fucking what.
I agree. If they can't like make you play ball, or then yeah, they're going to either shut you down or, I don't know. Maybe do something worse if you have a big enough following. How do I share screen on this?
Looking for screen. When's the last time you use Zoom, you knob?
I think I only use Zoom when I'm on y'all's show.
Really?
Yeah. People started using I've used Microsoft Teams the other day. You know, downloaded Microsoft Teams one time, and it's just the most invasive program on my computer. But every time I try to X out of it, it freezes up. It's like, fuck you, I'm going nowhere. I'm like...
Bill Gates is like, fuck no,
so
right. I'm watching you.
We have Teams. So for my job, we use Teams for almost everything, but we just got a phone, like an internet phone system called Dialpad. And I forgot about this, but when we first got it, our HR admin was showing us that after every conversation you have with a client, it will AI will take the conversation and break down everything that happened in the conversation so you can remember it later.
Oh, YouTube does that too.
Yeah, so guess what I did? I bitched about my job with our processor the other day. We both did. We both went back and forth. And I thought of it later. I'm like, dude, AI definitely transcribed that. There's some sort of something somewhere showing our admin
that you're
what
unhappy
we talked
with
about.
Your job.
If she clicks on it and actually reads it, which I don't think she will, she'd have to search for it. It will be like, Jen described how she's discouraged at work, and it breaks it down in a funny professional way.
Oh my god.
But yeah,
and
anyway,
you know, it gets elements of it wrong too. It's just like talk to text that always gets like the word wrong that transforms the sentence. you know?
Well, it's the same kind of system that's watching these videos and breaking down what happened in the video and deciding whether it's good enough for YouTube or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have a thing called Opus AI, and you can do this on StreamYard too, where it takes your whole video and you can just have it, the AI, cut it into a bunch of shorts and make it YouTube short ready. And then it puts captions on it and it creates a title for you. And Opus AI is like, this is 99% share worthy or whatever. But then I started looking at some of them, and it'll be like a video where I'm talking about how Democrats are trying to steal the election, and the title will be like, how Trump is trying to steal another election. Like, I don't think it really understood what I was saying.
Oh, or it was trained to say the exact opposite of that. One of the two.
Which is what the headlines of the news media does. They say the exact opposite.
They were hoping you weren't going to go back and watch those videos.
So is this video you're sharing right now, is this you, Johnny on the spot here?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is, I was interviewing all these people on... did you see the black guys I interviewed? I did a bunch of these that I didn't post.
I can't remember.
This is the hairy legs one.
Nice.
Should I play it? Is it on screen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, push play.
There's a lot of weird interactions going on. You know, you got a protest going on right here, right outside of it.
Huge, crazy mosh pit of things going on right now.
You're talking about the protesters over there. What do you think of them?
I personally have no problem against it, but I think right now they're wasting time. They're in the wrong area for it. It's not going to change anything. Save the strain on your vocal cords, man.
Notice one of the girls who, she's cute, but then her legs are hairy.
I can't, you know what?
What the fuck?
There's one of the protesters over there, very, very pretty, fully hairy legs she has. What do you think?
Disgusting. That is no good. That makes me want to puke.
I don't care.
That makes me want to puke. Oh my god.
Yeah. So you're in Georgia, right?
This is outside of Trump's rally in Atlanta.
I can hear the accents, which is weird because you don't have one. You have a normal clear and coherent speech pattern.
Those were definitely some southern folks right there. Yeah.
I think you missed an opportunity for I got hairy legs.
I don't know. I mean the hairy legs.
I had a laugh sound drop. Sorry.
Here, I'll show you one. I'll show you one more that I thought was funny.
Yeah, show us the talking to the black dudes.
Yeah, those guys were so great, dude. Everything's pulled up on YouTube. Dude, this one black guy that we talked to who was just so fired up, man. A number of people, because we were standing just right next to Antifa, just started looking at us like this black guy thought we were Antifa, and he started saying something about comma. I was like, dude, I'm not with them, but keep going. And I put the mic up and I got a lot of good stuff.
Get his opinion.
Yeah, he was.
I've noticed a lot more people doing these kind of things, like the Billy on the Street type of shit. Where they just walk up and just start talking to me. And I think this is the way. But people are going to be different when they know they're being recorded in on video. Like, it would be more genuine if they didn't know they were being recorded. But unfortunately, that's illegal at this time.
Unless you're
the NSA.
I'm sure, unless you're in the White House or Congress. Right. They have all the real January 6th footage of all the gay sex that happens among.
Yeah.
All right, so let me show this one. So this guy, I don't think he was any different at all. Regardless of recording, can you guys see that there?
Yeah.
All right, I loved this guy. Let me turn it up a little bit.
I like Joe Biden. I like Joe Biden, but I believe in Donald Trump. He's nice, you know.
Yeah.
I wish he'd get extra 4 years, Donald Trump.
You know, you get four and then four more.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What if Biden was Trump's VP?
Biden.
Yeah. You think?
That'd be a good team, strong team.
What do you like about Joe?
Joe Biden? I'm from New York. He was my former governor. He did a great job. He did a great job as the president also, but...
Governor of New York, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden was governor of New York.
What do you think of his son, Hunter?
Leonard? I really don't know. I'm not that big on politicians too much, but I just know Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So if you had to choose between one of the two, would you pick Joe or Trump?
Trump. Trump. Yeah. Trump is the businessman. Donald Trump is a big businessman, you know? Trump Towers, casinos, you can't beat him. I like Joe Biden.
So he asked me for a job right after that. I believe he was homeless.
Yeah, maybe. He seemed like he had some sort of mental issues, possibly. Yeah. So, well, maybe not the best interview.
He was also centrist, so
that he was. Yeah, he was very. You know. I mean,
he said that would be a good, strong,
a good team. A strong
Donald
team.
Donald Trump with Joe Biden as vice president.
This guy needs to be in a position of power.
Right. Dude, that is a power move right there. Trump chooses Biden as his vice president.
Yeah, because
can you imagine?
The Democrats, they didn't want him. Who do they want less than Joe Biden? That's like assassination proof. You get Biden as your VP. These are the black guys that really hated Kamala.
Think about Kamala's code switching that she does that Trump called out the other day.
I think she's a little conniving little bitch.
We don't even want Kamala Harris in office. You see what I'm saying? Because get what? She's not even African American, but she Indian. She Indian, just like Trump said, right?
She's a bitch.
Tell us that, Kamala.
She's not black. She Indian. She Indian. That bitch ass Kamala, that little hoe, her grandfather was the biggest slave master in Jamaica from Browntown, which was named after him, which means East Indian town. She was an East Indian then. The bitch is an East Indian now.
Yeah, he did not.
Wow, those guys just seem racist, though. At that point, they just seem angry at her because she's Indian and not because her policy sucks.
That might be part of what it is.
They can't be racist. They're black.
It used to be a thing where maybe it still is. I think it probably still is. Where if a black chick, especially if she was a lighter skinned black chick, would get discriminated against by the black chicks that weren't. And if a black chick brought a white dude into the hood as her boyfriend, that wasn't cool. You know, that
right.
was like Kamala bringing, Hollywood lawyer Dougie, the first Jewish.
Who is super straight, by the way.
Super straight, doesn't have a butt plug in usually. And yeah, he's like her handler. And the thing about Kamala is really interesting to me is the media has begun to openly talk about how she's just fully backed by the HBCU Divine Nine fraternities. They don't say that. They say a different term for it, but they're talking about the Divine Nine fraternities and they're talking about the Black Freemasons. That's what they call themselves. And this is what I was talking about with Fannie Willis and how the Black Freemasons have basically overtaken the DA's office in Fulton County, as well as the Treasury finance guy in Atlanta and the woman who interviewed Trump a while ago. And never mind that interview. She's also going to be the one moderating the debate who said that Trump was in Michigan the other day in the town he was in, because that town had a historical connection to KKK, even though Biden was also there before. This woman is in the HBCU, the Divine Nine Black Freemasons, and she's the one moderating the debate between Trump and Biden. Every one of these characters that went to one of these HBCUs that enters this story has 100% of the time thus far been in the Black Freemasons when I've looked them up. It's crazy.
Well, that was the weird Knights Templar connection, right? That you did
that,
on Kamala. Well,
that story, until I started looking into Fannie Willis and how everybody she hired when she took over the district attorney's job was like clockwork, except for the gay white guys, from one of the nine fraternities or sororities that are called the Divine Nine. And it's not just the HBCU schools, because they have them at some of the other colleges as well, but they make up what's called the Freemasons, that have their origin in the Boule. And the Boule was created to model the Skull and Bones at Yale, to be like them and spread the same messages in similar ways by infiltrating these fraternities and controlling the students. And there's a bunch of videos.
Boule is a little bit, it's black, right? It's kind of like,
yeah,
Prince
it's
Hall
like,
Masons for
it's like,
for
yes,
Freemasons.
It's like, yeah, Prince Hall Masons are connected to the Black Freemasons and all that too. And the Boule is like the black elites, they're the black guys behind the curtains. And the Kamala Harris Knights Templar story, I just thought it was a bunch of crazy people until I started looking at this going, maybe they weren't. Maybe they actually thought they were in something that was connected to all this. And it just gets weirder and weirder. They had a big party at Kamala's house right before they indicted Trump that was for all of the HBCU Divine Nine fraternities and sororities of Black Freemasons. So you got Dougie Imhoff there getting pounded by a line of black guys.
False.
Yeah. It's just, it's interesting. Now they're kind of openly talking about it a little bit on CNN and other networks.
Well, it's revelation of the method. I mean, we've been talking about that for the last couple of years too. So who knows, dude? So before
the people
we get
who
out
defected
here, though,
from it, that's what I was going to say. There's a bunch of people who defected from those fraternities and sororities that made videos on TikTok and stuff. And this is what they're saying, that it's demonic and that it demands your loyalty at all costs for the rest of your life. And they're like, I'm not putting this before God. And they talked about some of the rituals and stuff. Now, whether you believe that it's demonic or whatnot, that's just what they believe. Right. It's just interesting because the ones who left it, some of them have stories about how their lives were destroyed by these people. And these fraternities for leaving, it's interesting times for sure.
No, I know, and we've said that a million times too. It's like it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It seems like some of these people really fucking do, and apparently it's working for them because look where we're at. So yeah, that's what I want to kind of wanted to close on is I don't want to make you prophesy or speak in tongues or anything, but like, what's your general mindset? So when I first saw this happening, I'm like, Trump's got it in the fucking bag. But I also said that in 2020 and was like, holy shit, this geriatric retard is going to be our president for the next 4 months or 4 years. Fuck, I wish it was 4 months. So now I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the push of the media and all the sponsored ads and all the content creators that are being pushed to the fore with their pro Kamala thing. I'm like, you know what? There's a good fucking chance Kamala could be the president of the United States. I didn't say elected. I said there's a good chance she could be the president. So
I agree.
What do you think? We have a couple months to go.
I think if it were a real election, I don't think that it would be close.
Right.
I think Trump would win. They're never going to report polls as so and so has 90% and the other has 10-1 because we would stop paying attention, and the whole idea is to keep our engagement so they can propagate.
It's always 49-50.
It's always going to be that way. Yeah. And if everybody believed that it was just going to be a blowout, then if they decided they wanted to steal it for Kamala, then people would be suspicious, even those who might be Democrats. I think all of this stuff is mostly fake. Yeah, I think they're
manufactured.
Maybe they are generating some enthusiasm and maybe they will continue to, but I think it's all to create the plausibility that Kamala could win or even that she should win, so that if she doesn't win, that they can steal it again. And most or half of the country will believe it. And they will also believe that anybody who says otherwise is an insurrectionist, which is why we're seeing all these stories come out lately. This has been a theme for the past couple of weeks. Trump's dark plan to steal the 2024 election, the groundwork is already being laid, and he's upping it's even worse. And then they tell you what this plan is. And part of the plan that they say is the changing the election laws locally, starting in Georgia and Fulton County, where Garland Favrito and Voter GA have actually done real work to create voter integrity. And what they have done is they've gotten these three board members elected or appointed on the Georgia State Elections Board, which was previously all Democrat, and anything they would just reject anything that was reasonable and make it just impossible to actually like count votes and do whatever, totally like in the bag of the left and Soros in some cases. But three people who questioned the election, which that's always included in the description of these people now,
of course,
were appointed. And so it's usually five members. And so last Monday, there was a vote for a new rule that would enable, is what they say anyway, they're actually already supposed to do this by statutory law, but this just makes it harder for the other ones to subvert that. Enables the officials, the local officials to in Georgia to investigate and basically confirm the vote count in their counties before it gets certified. You know, and they act like, can you believe these radical MAGA Republicans want to make sure the vote is correct before we certify it?
Biden I remember hearing that. What
in
the
a freaking interview, he goes, can you believe in Georgia? They want to count the vote. Come on, man. They want to count the votes. Like it's just awful and evil. And they've started a smear campaign against these three people, and they're prepping people across the country who are Democrats to see something, a law or a rule that if they saw in any other context, they would go, oh, that makes perfect sense to see that as radical extremism and an attempt to sow chaos and screw up our elections.
Right.
It's like the craziest thing. They're poisoning that well of reasonability and creating plausibility for Kamala. I'm like, was it Jesse Jackson or whatever, just with the rhymes right there? Reasonability, plausibility. That's what, whatever.
Did anyone say to them why? Why is that so radical? Because I would love to hear their rebuttal to that, or just an answer. Why is that crazy that they want to count the votes before they certify them?
The explanations that they all give in the media, and they sit, so they had a Soros lawyer come in from another state and cite precedent law from another state that's unrelated to Georgia as a reason why this is illegal in Georgia. And so now everybody's saying it's legal. It's not. That's not even Georgia law they were talking about. That's bullshit. And then the reasons, which were doled out in an email by Stacey Abrams, her group called Fair Fight, and then propagated by all the media, and then all of the Democrat activists, which flooded the public comments of this hearing, and they all said the same thing. It's crazy. They all said the same thing.
Oh, weird. Where have we seen that before?
Yeah, they would say, you're going to try and require overworked election workers who've been there 18 hours to have to stay and continue working and hand count the votes, and you think that's going to be more accurate than the machines, and this is going to cause election night to be in chaos, and we might not know the outcome of the election, and this could lead to another January 6th insurrection. Like, it's just
election workers have a temporary job. They should be grateful for the fucking OT, in my opinion.
Plenty of right leaning people who will be happy to do that.
Yeah, if you're paying me right, I'll stay there for 48 fucking hours and piss in my shoe.
But I mean, I don't care. They signed up for the job. I don't think they were being lazy when they signed up. They know what they're doing. They know what they're in for. And I'm sure if they're like, hey, we have to pay you OT, it's only a few weeks out of the year.
Yeah, and they propagate the idea that they don't give any good reasons, like you asked, or they just give these generic propaganda reasons. The voting machines are fine. They're better and smarter than people. Everything in the planet, including the Fulton County government, which was held hostage by cyber attackers for like 2 months and you couldn't use their system, is hackable except the Dominion voting machines. So they should really sell that technology everywhere else, since it's the only unhackable thing on the planet.
Dude, all I can see is that this is a repeat of 2020, and it doesn't matter. Like, to me, like, it actually mattered more to me in 2020 just because, you know, COVID was going on. We're like, what the fuck is happening right now? And then Biden got in, and we're like, oh, shit. After the last 4 years, I think a lot more people are coming to realize that it doesn't really fucking matter. Yes, the implosion might be softer under Trump or under Biden, depending on where you stand. We're heading towards some kind of implosion. It might get rough.
Yeah,
but I am. Yeah. I still, lately, as of the last couple of months, I have a better feeling about it. And I think it's just because I've seen a lot more people coming out of the fray and being like, we realize what's going on here. This shit's fucked. What I want to see is like even 25% of the U.S. stop paying taxes. Just do
that.
That'd
be great.
Let's see what happens.
Nobody voted. Nobody voted.
Let's do an experiment, people. 25%. Yeah. That's not that many. Come on. Do 10%. Let's cut it short.
You're right that there are more people that are willing to be openly Trump supporters that are maybe black or maybe in the theater community or something like that, where they'd just be ostracized otherwise. I don't know what's going to happen. I at this point, I'd be surprised if they're going to let Trump win. I don't know if this is an attempt, because it's always the actions and the reactions, the Solinsky method. So what's the reaction they're trying to cause by doing this? They didn't have a real insurrection the last time. And I feel like for
how
the past
dare you
4 years, yeah, that they're trying to trigger people who support Trump, MAGA, not even Republicans, MAGA Republicans, into becoming the thing that they've been telling people that they are since 2016. So that they can do that to basically wipe out that type of thinking. And whatever you think about Trump as a person, for me, this goes back to independent thinking, self-responsibility, living like they don't like when people live off the land. They actually, I saw a Council on Foreign Relations video that I used to play clips of, where the lady says that being able to grow your own food and living off the land is two steps away from white nationalism and radicalism.
That's wow. How this country started. Do they not know this? That's well, exactly how right. It started.
They don't
according
want that
to
mentality.
What we're told.
They don't right. Want so the problem are the people who kind of that MAGA idea, even though there's a lot of cultish things to it, but the we don't need the government idea, which is a libertarian thing too, in a lot of ways, but the libertarians hate each other and the right and left kind of get together. Hey, although Trump did come to the libertarian thing and speak, it was pretty funny. Being there, it was very contentious. The libertarians all pride themselves in being the one to just do the. It was just, they all have their signs and their free rolls, and whatever. And then they had to boo at certain just to prove their libertarianness, you know. And
they
at one point,
everything?
No, some of them were reasonable. They clap when it was good, and they'd boo when they didn't like it. But they had MAGA people in there mixed. With libertarians. So it was fun to watch, but it was very contentious. But Trump just started going when they would be, he'd go, all right, get your 3%. That's fine. Get your 3%. He's just mocking them. It was very funny.
I don't know. I feel like Trump might be elected. Who knows? Because I don't think the left runs this world. It's someone else. So they might Trump win just so he can make all of the people more divided.
That
make
could
his
well
followers
be.
Hate him. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not even trying to be negative about it. I think that most people honestly just don't give a shit. And
I
we
like
just want to, we want to find camaraderie with our friends, with our neighbors, with other people.
That's the truth of it right there. I think a lot of the stuff that they want to do by keeping us engaged all the time is prevent that and create this idea of a divided reality that when you go out on them streets or whatever it was Kamala
said. As Kamala said,
yeah. And you talk to people, while there are some people that are a little ridiculous, most people are pretty cool and will have a good conversation and will listen when they're outside of, you know, the digital walls of social media where people are rewarded for just attacking people and saying the most divisive thing possible.
Right. I think a lot of people are fearful when they, especially the people who see something on the news and they know if they're in, you know, San Francisco or Chicago or Boston or somewhere where there's a lot of lefties, maybe whatever, or there's purported to be a lot of lefties. They might be afraid to say something to their friends and their peers or their coworkers about how they feel. But when someone comes up to them and says, hey, do you honestly give a shit about all this? Isn't it a little weird? And do you want to just like start a commune together? I think a lot of people would be completely on board with that because it's way better sounding than just blindly supporting someone because you're afraid of being ostracized.
Of course.
And I think the left is taking that for granted. They don't understand that if all the middle people rose up, we'd be significantly stronger than either side.
Yeah. No, it's the ants versus the grasshoppers. And as soon as people realize that, the top is fucked. We've talked about that a lot.
The grasshoppers are faggots.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Faggots.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody. This has been a test run of YouTube. I will check to make sure that it went live. It looks like it has. Is it not?
It's funny. I'm on YouTube right now on my phone, and it says waiting for a legit bat, but it says it's August 23rd, 2024 at 6. Well, maybe my phone's messed up. I'm not sure, but it's not pulling up.
I think I didn't hit the go live button.
Nuh-uh. Really?
It's fine. It's recorded. I'll just upload it. Fuck it. Whatever.
I love you.
That explains why there's nobody watching.
Yeah, no, it's a pain in the ass. Like we don't have 12 people behind the scenes like Jake Tapper does. Yeah.
You know what I'll do though? I'll just set it as a premiere and then it'll look like it's going live anyway.
Yeah, right. So there you got four people waiting though.
I'm one of them. Still? I was waiting. Yeah, people are waiting to watch. And it's your first time and your excuse that I didn't hit go
now
live.
Now I know.
The first time you had sex, did you forget to put your dick in or what?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, well, I finished early.
I was done before.
You had a bunch of people waiting.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, guys.
I got a taxi because that's how old I am.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, thanks, Brad. You can reach Brad at Freedom Act Radio on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, X, formerly known as Twitter. My bad.
Thanks.
And Linktree/Brad Binkley. Sorry.
Yeah, Linktree's in my Twitter profile, and that's all. It's on my
I put it in the show notes, too, so it's fine. But thanks, Brad. Appreciate you. Piss and love to everybody.
Piss.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that?
No, what was that?
Thank you for listening to Legit Bet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.